Well, actually, extra special feedback before the feedback. The years of World War II have been brought to life very vividly over the decades. Writer Rodney Hall joined us recently to share many of his childhood memories of what life was like in wartime England. Here's just one of his anecdotes.
I do have very vivid memories of my brother and sister and I pushing the settee back against the big upright piano we had and crawling into the tunnel and our mother crawling in after us. And there's not much room under a keyboard, as you'll know if you've ever tried it, on the basis that if a bomb hit the building, that when the roof fell in, you would have some protection from being crushed. Of course, the thing that never occurred to me, I have to say, until I was in my 40s, actually, was that our little flat was built over a service station. And, of course, under the service station were great tanks of fuel. So the roof falling in would have been the least of our worries.
Yes,
if a bomb had actually hit us.
Rodney Hall, in his memoir, he writes as his five-year-old self, a technique that really draws out the smaller details, particularly the kinds of things that children notice and remember, like tasting an orange for the first time, or the pong of the paraffin oil heater, not to mention the many other moments, including the time he was thumped for being a POM. His stories seem to bring back many childhood wartime memories for our listeners as well. Let's start with a comment from Hazel, who also recalls the smaller moments.
Oh my goodness, what memories came tumbling to the fore listening to Rodney. Food parcels from Australia, of course, sucking foot-long icicles broken from under the large red fire engine parked in our driveway. The fresh goat's milk we collected from the farm across the road. I can still feel the warmth of the bottle and the tug of the little kids I fed. How fortunate we were. And the muslin cloth stretched across the china bowl balanced in the pantry when making our own butter. The city cousin who collected rabbit droppings and pronounced them sultanas. What a treat. Travelling in the luggage compartment of the local train with my new baby sister for the first visit to the beach, still covered with reels of barbed wire. So much more.
For Joan, seeing the shock and fear in the adult faces around her has never left her, nor the memory of one particular evening.
My first vivid memory of World War II is of lying in bed, listening to the sound of German aircraft engines, distinct from ours. As the bombing intensified, we were allocated bunks in reinforced cellars under shops. We would remain underground until first light, hoping as we emerged that our house had survived the night. On one particularly bad night, Dad was trying to calm a hysterical woman, and I snuck up the stairs and opened the door to the street. I got only a glimpse, for an angry father caught up with me. But that glimpse revealed a red world. My school was burning, with the flames that were reflected off all the other buildings. Everything was red, including my rear end when Dad caught up with me. The physical appearance of the area was changed forever that night. Apart from the loss of the school, a whole row of shops had been obliterated, together with many people unfortunate enough to be in them. This included many of my friends. Dad helped to clear the rubble in the hope of finding someone alive, but the only thing he found was a child's arm. It was at this point that it was decided that we should leave London.
Terry also recalls a somewhat painful wartime memory, but from the schoolyard.
Rodney Hall's memories of the war years struck a note with me, particularly when he was thumped because he was a POM. My family moved from England to Germany in 1946, when my father was contracted by the British government to organise the clearing of the Kiel Harbour after the defeated Nazis had blocked Allied access. When we returned to England, I was excited to be returning to my homeland and eagerly anticipating my first day at an English school. Unfortunately, the teacher introduced me to the class as Terry from Germany. So, come lunchtime, I too was thumped, but for being a Nazi. A real shock to the system.
Still the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome
Vera Lynn was, for many, one of the great voices of World War II. But for Josephine, hearing her sing again has rather different associations.
I was born just after the war, but hearing the Vera Lynn song that introduced Rodney Hall's segment reminded me of a rather different family experience of that time. My parents were pacifists, and my father spent some time in prison as a conscientious objector, where he became involved with the Quakers. In my childhood, the radio was always turned off when brass band music and patriotic songs like those of Vera Lynn came on. I suspect because my parents had had to balance loyalty to country and commitment to beliefs throughout the war in the face of ostracism and hostility. I know my mother was handed white feathers in public, for example. They were tireless workers in peace and social action groups all their lives, but I don't think I realised in my early years quite how tough and alienating the war and the immediate post-war years must have been for them.
Margaret, who was based in Melbourne during World War II, has a wartime memory from our own backyard.
I was born in Melbourne just before World War II was declared. 13 months later, my father was sent on loan to the Royal Navy. He came home again when I was 6 and a half. At some stage, my mother found in the newspaper a design and plan for a bomb shelter, and on her own, she dug into the clay of our back lawn and carved out a safe place for her young brood, should danger come so close. I remember going down the steps to look at this cavern. The first time it rained, it filled with water. Obviously, neither the designer nor my mother had foreseen this occurrence. My mother decided we would shelter under the stairs, should there be a bombing raid. But the disturbance left a bump in the back lawn. I would love to know if there is still evidence of my mother's wartime endeavours at my old home.
Margaret, at 81, reflects on the loss of her father in the Second World War and what she now sees around her.
It's said that history repeats itself. Testosterone-driven debacles continue around the world. Maybe one day leaders will use brains, not brawn, to solve problems. Hope springs eternal. I know my family structure was lost when my father died. There are no clichés to cover that period in my life. Churchill said this was our finest hour, maybe, but the cost for me and many was just too high.
And finally, Gillian shares that moment each year when she would receive her Christmas orange.
My mother was a child in the UK during the war and has told us about her first experience with an orange that she was given for Christmas. She hadn't realised that you should remove the skin, so she ate it all. I remember that all of my childhood, we also always had an orange in our Christmas stocking.
And a huge thank you to all our listeners who shared their childhood memories of World War II with us. The response was overwhelming.